Well, I want to say hi to everybody in this room, everybody at all of our campuses, people joining us online. So glad on this Palm Sunday as we enter into Holy Week that you're here and we remember what it is that Jesus did out of love. I actually kind of want to start there. One of the ways that you can tell what somebody loves is by what they do when what they love gets violated. I have a very good friend who loves logic. He hates it when reason gets violated. For example, if somebody misuses the word literally, like my head literally exploded, unless there are brain fragments on the ground, you better not say that around this particular friend. Or somebody else that I know loves order and beauty, and so they hate it when cupboards and drawers are just carelessly left open, unclosed. I know somebody like that, and it's unfortunate because I never leave drawers or cupboards unclosed, but they sometimes just spontaneously open themselves in our condo, literally. For some people, they love their car. I was backing out of a space downtown Menlo Park a while ago. It was a super crowded parking lot, and while I was backing out, I heard the sound of a tiny little scraping sound, just barely audible, but I'm a pastor. I live here. I thought I better get out and take a look, and sure enough, in the car next to me, there was a scratch. It was a tiny little scratch, not a ding, not a dent, just a little line. It was almost decorative, but I thought I better leave him a note, so I did with my phone number on it, because wouldn't it bother me at all, but I got a 10-year-old Honda Accord. I'm not a car guy. I don't care about cars. This was not a 10-year-old Honda Accord. This was a brand new Italian car whose name rhymes with Ferrari. Owner called me up the next day, said, you know, thanks for leaving your name and being honest. I got to tell you, this car is like my baby. I have to have it in mint condition. I said, okay, I understand. He called me the next day. He said, I've taken it into the shop and they tell me that the scratch cannot be buffed out. The whole panel has to be replaced. I said, okay. Call me the next day. He said, they told me that they do not have the panel here in the States. They have to send to Italy and have it shipped over. I said, okay. It's a true story. He called me one more time. He said, this whole thing has bothered me, put me over the edge so far. I'm getting a brand new car. You don't owe me a thing. I said, well, if you're not going to use the old car anymore, you can tell what somebody loves because if it, you know, gets violated, they just go bonkers. A writer, online guy named Walker Moore posed this question. What do you think are God's pet peeves? Like, what is it that God cares about so much that he can't stand it when it's violated? Now, God loves everything that God has created. So if we pollute the oceans, if we destroy a rainforest, if we punch a hole through the ozone layer, we dishonor God. God thought up music, so when we write bad music, dishonors God. But none of that stuff is at the top of God's list. Turns out there actually is a list in the Bible of stuff God hates. So you picked a good weekend to be here. It's in the book of Proverbs, and this is what the writer says. There are six things the Lord hates, seven that are detestable to him. Haughty eyes, a lying tongue, hands that shed innocent blood, a heart that devises wicked schemes, feet that rush into evil, a false witness that pours out lies, a person who sows discord in community. We've been learning in the Sermon on the Mount, we all have a little kingdom and it starts with our body, and that's what gets talked about here. Haughty eyes, when somebody at a restaurant demeans someone on the waitstaff. When people who are smart or rich or pretty get all puffed up about it, when people get dismissed because of their accent or their skin or their culture, God hates that. A lying tongue, somebody breaks a promise, a spouse breaks a vow, a politician deceives people, wounds God's heart. When the hands that God gave us to help each other are used to commit violence with other people or to clutch onto resources that could give life to God's children, or when those hands write emails that stab somebody in the back or wound somebody's heart. And the list goes on. Summary comes at the end. In a text like this, when the writer says there are six things the Lord hates, seven that are detestable, the idea is not that there's a sudden additional thought that occurs. This is a poetic way of emphasizing the final item on the list, which is to sow discord, to violate community, to wound God's dream of shalom. Judge somebody, belittle somebody, exclude somebody, use somebody, engage in human trafficking, abuse a spouse, betray, stop the life of an unborn child, ridicule a person with a disability, or just live in a world where these things are going on every day and don't do anything about them when you could. Just close your eyes, shut your heart, suit yourself. What God values above every other single thing in all of creation, and this is truth, this is fact, are human beings. So when a human being gets mistreated, it deeply offends the creator and the judge of all things, and this is truth. All the history of Israel, the whole point of the law, the whole burden of the prophets who were a unique moral force in the world was so that people could know this about God and about reality. And then one day came this rabbi named Jesus, and he teaches the Sermon on the Mount. He says at the beginning of it, we've looked at this, do not think I've come to abolish the law and the prophets. I have not come to abolish them, but to fulfill them. Anybody that puts aside the least of them and teaches others to do the same will be called the least. And then, in just an intellectual tour de force of such brilliance, this man, Jesus, takes centuries of the greatest wisdom in the world through Israel, its teaching of the law and the prophets, and he summarizes it, gives the cliff notes of the greatest teaching humanity has received in Matthew chapters 5 and 6 and 7. But Jesus is not done. Now he outdoes himself and creates the cliff note on the cliff notes. The most brilliant teacher in history is going to summarize the most influential talk ever delivered in the greatest ethical maxim ever devised. And here it is. So, in everything, do to others what you would have others do to you. For this sums up the law and the prophets. Now, this is discipleship for everybody. I don't care whether you believe in God or not, what you think about miracles or the supernatural or life after death, you can start with this. This will give you enough to keep you busy all day long, the golden rule. If you're experiencing homelessness on the street, Jesus says, how would you want to be treated? How would you want somebody to look or not look at you, to talk or not talk to you? If you were receiving that email that you're writing, would you want someone to put a little joy, a little affection in it? If you're having an argument with somebody, what would a golden rule argument look like? Part of the genius of the golden rule is we usually focus on how we are being treated. How did your day go usually means how did people treat you? How did life treat you? But the golden rule turns that around. How did you treat people today? How did you treat life today? The golden rule is tremendously empowering because it makes you an agent and not a victim. Every day is not going to be win the lottery day, but every day can be a golden rule day if you wanted to. You can use it on people that you like. You can use it on people that you do not like. And oddly, you will find that you start to like them more. You can use the golden rule while you are driving. You can use the golden rule while you are texting. You can use the golden rule by not texting while you are driving. Can I get an amen from anybody on that one? You can use it across cultural divides. You can use it across generational divides. You can use it with people that have ethnic or gender or moral or religious differences. You can use it with different personality types. I'm an introvert, but this is an extrovert. How would an extrovert like to have it done unto them? This is why the golden rule is golden and not just a rule. A lot of rules just tell you what to do. Do not exceed 65 miles an hour. That requires no imagination at all. The golden rule is all about imagination. Jesus is actually teaching you to begin by looking at your heart. You're going to have to stretch your imagination. How would I like to be treated? Martin Luther, the great reformer, said this about the golden rule. It was certainly clever of Christ to state it this way. And I just love thinking about the cleverness of Jesus. The only example he sets up is ourselves. It is so clear that you don't need glasses to understand Moses and the law. Thus, you are your own Bible, your own teacher, your own theologian, and your own preacher, whatever you would have done to you. Then in the Golden Rule, I place the other person on a par with me. They are not a thing to be used. They have desires and feelings and intentions and dreams and fears, just like I do. And I get out of myself and I try to imagine, what's it like to be that age, that person, that gender, that culture, that experience, that background, those wounds? I'm telling you, it's like the Golden Rule is a living thing. If you let it get inside you and let Jesus use it, it'll begin to move you from ego to love. And then it's inexhaustible. Jesus deliberately says, in everything, do the Golden Rule. How broad is that? It's significant in the ancient world. Occasionally, you'll come across what's called the Silver Rule. That's the negative version. Don't do to others what you don't want others to do to you. But the Golden Rule is a call to action, not just avoidance. It is an unlimited opportunity to use initiative and creativity as a force for the good. Not just that, it is universal. Jesus doesn't say, do unto your brothers and sisters, do unto Christians, do unto people who believe like you, do unto people who look like you. He uses the word anthropos. We get our word anthropology. The idea is, use it for all of humankind, for people that are your friends, for people that are your enemies. And then Jesus not only taught a Golden Rule message, he lived the Golden Rule life. If I were a leper back then, I would want to be touched. No rabbi would touch a leper, Jesus did. If I was a little kid, I'd want to be blessed. Little kids were way down on the status pole then. Important people didn't have time for little kids, Jesus did. If I was a prostitute back then, I would want to be respected and treated with dignity by a rabbi. No rabbi would do that with a prostitute. Jesus did. All the way to Palm Sunday and then Good Friday that we'll remember this week when he's hanging on a cross and there's a thief next to him and the thief says, Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom. And Jesus doesn't say, are you kidding me? You've defied God your whole life long, being executed as a criminal. You're asking it, you know, me to do you a favor now. He just says, this day, you'll be together with me in paradise. I got this. Jesus lived a Golden Rule life. He taught a Golden Rule message. He died a Golden Rule death. And he started a Golden Rule community. And we make life so complicated. We wonder, what should I do with my life? Oh, man, what if I don't get into the right school? What if I don't get the right job? What if I don't have the right? What if I'm missing out? I will tell you what. Do the Golden Rule. No life that is lived by the Golden Rule is misspent, no matter how unimpressive it looks by human standards. No life that violates the Golden Rule is well spent, no matter how impressed other people might be by it. In the book of Acts, there's a little phrase Peter uses to describe Jesus' life that I love. He's talking to a bunch of Gentiles, can't use the language of Israel or the Old Testament scriptures, got to explain Jesus in a way they can get it. So he just says, God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power, and he went around doing good. How much money do you need to go around doing good? How high does your IQ have to be to go around doing good? How vast must your network be? How much talent do you got to have? One of the great questions of life is, what do I want to have on my tombstone? How do I want my existence summed up? Peter's trying to describe his friend Jesus. It's just this. He went around doing good. What does it mean to go around doing good? Whatever you'd have others do to you, you do them. That's the Golden Rule. Now, when we gather, it's for life change. The only way to come to understand and believe Jesus' words is not to study them incessantly, abstractly. It's to actually do them. And this week, we're talking about the Golden Rule. Does anybody want to guess what the application of this message is going to be? Do the Golden Rule. When? Every day. Where? Everywhere. To whom? Everybody. How? With Jesus' help. I'm going to make this as concrete as I know how. Start at home. Start with whoever it is that's closest to you. I was studying this verse several weeks ago, and I had a day off that week. Friday's usually my day off, and I thought, I'm going to try to make this a Golden Rule Friday. Kind of run a little experiment. I'll just see as I go through the day if I can make every interaction a Golden Rule moment. How would the Golden Rule apply? I asked Jesus to help me with this. Nancy, my wife, had to get up at 4 o'clock in the morning to travel. I woke up when her alarm went off. My first thought was, I'm going to disgruntled that I woke up this early and I wanted to go back to sleep. And then I thought, you know, if I had to go on a trip and I had to get up early and Nancy were to get up with me in the morning, I would like that. So I got up with my wife at 4 o'clock in the morning when I didn't have to be with her. Hold your applause. We went downstairs to have breakfast and she said, I'm going to go upstairs now and get dressed. You can come on up and talk to me if you want. Often in a moment like that, I'd be reading something and want to just stay downstairs. But I thought, if I was going to get dressed and leave on a trip, I'd like it if Nancy came and just sat and talked with me. So I did that. Then she drove off in her car. She went to the San Francisco airport, and she texted me from the gate. This is kind of a classic thing that either one of us could do. She just texted, classic mistake. She had left her car at the airport there. She was at the gate now, but she had to fly back into the San Jose airport. So her car was going to be stranded at the wrong airport. She'd have to go real late at night to pick up her car. And I thought, it's 6 o'clock in the morning. It's Golden Rule Friday. It's my day off. I got nothing to do. Uber and Lyft were created for something like this. If I was dumb enough to have left my car at the wrong airport, I'd like my spouse to pick it up for me. And I did. Now, if I had left my car at the wrong airport, I probably wouldn't like it if my spouse told everybody I was dumb enough to do something like that. But this isn't Golden Rule Friday. This is Selfish Sunday, so it's okay. Just imagine if every home ran on the Golden Rule. Every marriage, every parent-child interaction, marital infidelity or betrayal or child neglect or broken homes would just be off the table. Sin would pretty much be wiped out. Golden Rule homes would be places of dignity and healing and strength and love and joy. You, this week, if you want, with Jesus' help, can be a Golden Rule friend. That same day I had breakfast with a friend, and I kept trying to think through the meal, how would I like to be listened to if I was this person? What questions would I want to have asked? What would I want to hear? And I found myself enjoying the conversation a whole lot more when I was just thinking about the other person. And then the bill came, and I thought, well, it's Golden Rule Friday, so of course I'm going to pick up the check. But then the other person also reached for it, so I got ready to do the I'm paying for the bill tug of war. And then I paused to try to exercise a little Golden Rule imagination, and the thought that came was, this is a person who wants to be able to give you the gift of picking up the check. And so I just stopped and said, thank you. That would be very kind of you. And they paid for the meal, and they gave me such a great smile. I knew they were experiencing more joy through giving than they would if I would have picked up the check myself. So I've decided I will never pick up another check at a restaurant as long as I live. You can be a Golden Rule shopper. You can do this. I'm at a store, same day, Golden Rule Friday. I'm in a hurry because I often wrestle with hurry. The person across the counter says to me, would you like to become a Rewards Club member and earn bonus points and have us email you hourly for the rest of your natural life? It turns out that being a Rewards Club member is actually one of my pet peeves. Who knew? And then I think about, there's a person across the counter and they're a human being and they've got hopes and dreams and fears and hurts and Jesus died for them. And offering me a rewards card membership probably wasn't even their idea. They probably have to do this. And they probably get hurried, self-important responses from people in the Bay Area all the time. So, because it's Golden Rule Friday, I say, I would love a Rewards Club membership. I was hoping you would ask. Let's do this. Now, you don't have to do this to do the Golden Rule. I've already thrown that card away. But what I can do is just remember the person on the other side of the counter is a human being, and I can have a Golden Rule moment with that. Okay? How about work? What would it look like for you to work the Golden Rule this week? Whether you work for a paycheck or as a volunteer, work is the creation of value. How are you going to do that? That's part of how we make the kingdom come. God's will be done on earth. That's the kingdom of God through his power by observing the Golden Rule. Years ago, one time I was at the O'Hare Airport in Chicago, and I got on a shuttle bus to go get a rental car, and the driver was this amazing guy. It's a real thankless job. It can be quite stressful. But the guy driving the shuttle bus is an absolute delight. No kidding. He would be scanning the curbside, looking for anybody who needed a ride. And he would always tell those of us who were on his bus, you know, I'm always looking for anybody who's running late. A lot of people are. You can tell it by their eyes. I'm always looking for people's eyes because I never want to miss one of them. I always want to get them. Here's another one right there. And he pulled over and picked them up. We were cheering him on when he was picking people up. He was like the Oprah of shuttle bus drivers. He would grab people's luggage before they could bend down to pick it up, bring it up on the bus. When he would get back on, he would say to us, well, we're off. I know you're all eager to get there as soon as we can, so I'll get you there as quick as possible. He created such a little community of joy on that bus that people didn't want to get off the shuttle bus. People wanted to ride around the terminal a second time just to be treated with the golden rule by this guy. Because when people follow the golden rule, folks that were lonely feel invited in. People that were strangers feel like they're wanted. People that were excluded or depressed or disappointed or whatever feel like they're part of a little family. And the kingdom comes down here on a shuttle bus, for crying out loud. So make this week an adventure in golden rule living. Make it a game. Keep score. See how many interactions you can have with other people where you creatively exercise the golden rule moment. When you forget, you will. When you get it wrong, when you revert to ego or flesh, don't beat yourself up. Just confess it. Receive grace. That's why Jesus died on a cross on what is now called Good Friday and shed his blood so that we can be forgiven, be empowered by the power of the resurrection, get back into the golden rule flow again. Next week, our Easter celebration, the stories, it's going to be off the charts. Issue golden rule invitations to anybody who might benefit and come on back here and just celebrate it. And as you live the golden rule this week and prepare to celebrate the resurrection with Jesus' help, you will find life beginning to grow in you. You will get a little less self-preoccupied. You'll get a little more loving. Your imagination will begin to stretch and grow in good ways. People will begin to want to be around you more. You will have more moments of joy. You will begin to be more invested in other people's flourishing. You will begin to discover the kingdom is real. You will experience a new partnership with Jesus. You will learn what the law and the prophets were talking about all those centuries ago and come to believe, come to know in your soul, it is true. It is the way things are. In fact, the golden rule under Jesus' power is so strong and available that doing it is how we're actually going to close this service today. We're not doing a closing song. We're not doing a closing prayer. We're not doing a closing benediction. We're doing the golden rule. We're going to stop quite abruptly, and you can respond to the end of this message however you would want to be responded to if you were given this message. And then you'll have time to do the golden rule right now so that you can remember this week, so that you can begin to put it into practice. You can do it with somebody sitting next to you. You can do it with somebody in front of you or behind you. You can do it with a friend. You can do it with somebody who's going through a hard time right now. There's lots of those in this room. And they could use a smile, or they could use a hug, or they could use a prayer, or they could use a friend, or they could use an invitation. You can do the golden rule while you're walking out of this room. You can throw your arm around somebody. You can express interest in somebody. You could encourage somebody. You could pray for somebody. You can use it when you get to where you are parked. You can use it when you are driving off this campus all the way home. The service is now done. Go. Do to others what you would have them do to you. Seriously, what are you sitting there for? Get going.